the first Sunday of Advent, if we look at it that way, Isaiah 9:6 says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And the government will be upon his shoulders. A prophecy about the millennial reign. A prophecy about our king. But today, he's the Prince of Peace. When this was spoken, it was over 400 years before Jesus showed up on the scene. So for 400 years, they had this promise to have a leader that would give peace. A leader that would give peace. It says, there will be a child that will be born. A son will be given. There will be this man that's going to come and put things in order. And this man will be from God. And this man will bring peace. And think of that. They had 400 years of trials, of being overrun by different countries, by different kingdoms, by different rulers, by not being able to do what they wanted to do, of being told what to do, and the trials, and the resurrection, insurrections that were going on for 400 years. And then, as they were hoping for this peace, one night in a manger, Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14 says this, "And suddenly there was the angel, with the angels, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." A little later in that chapter, Jesus is being presented at the temple at the time that he is supposed to be presented in the temple. And in Luke writes, starts in verse 25 of 2, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now the consolation of Israel was what was spoken of Isaiah that we just read. A child will be born, will be given. A son will be given, and he will be the Prince of Peace." And the Holy Spirit had told this man that he was not going to die until he saw that person, that child. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, this man, it says, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have appeared before the face of all people." This child was born. And that is what we celebrate at Christmas time. Nobody knows exactly when Jesus was born. There's speculation it could have been September, it could have been different times. But we take this time of the year to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that night. The only begotten Son of God, born of a virgin. To celebrate that. And that is who this man got to see. The promise has arrived. God is now in the process of bringing peace to mankind. A peace like the peace between man and their Creator in the Garden of Eden before the fall. John chapter 14. Jesus speaking to the people. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. The peace that Jesus gave, the Jews were hoping for an earthly peace, a physical peace, a peace with the other people around. But what Jesus gave to the people was something that the people could never, ever, ever do for themselves through negotiation, through payments, through tributes, through whatever. And he gave peace between mankind and God the Father, because he paid the price for the one thing that mankind could not take care of, and that was sin. A peace that was available through Jesus Christ, this child, the peace that was available to every human being that solves the eternal problem of separation because of the conflict of sin. And our Lord and Savior, this little child in a manger, this little child that was fully human, this little child that grew up like any other little boy, this little child whose father was God the Father and lived a sinless life because of his love and his knowledge of the Father. He overcame every temptation. But he gave us the peace through his death, so we can overcome that anxiety of what happens after our last breath. The anxiety of judgment, we can overcome, and we can have the hope of eternal life with our Lord. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." Then Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." He came to bring peace. That is our hope. We can have peace in this life, but the peace that he's giving us isn't the peace that everything's going to be solved in Israel. It isn't the peace that everything's going to be solved with your financial woes. It's not a peace that everything's going to be solved with your health or relationships. It's way greater than that. It is the peace knowing that when we take our last breath, it's a peace knowing that we are the bride of Christ. We are the church. We are his family. It is a peace knowing that that is our hope. That when he says, "I come back," as a groom comes for a bride, Jesus will come back for his church. And that is a confidence in the peace that we can have. And that is the hope that we carry. This hope of eternal peace, it's only possible for belief and trust in a relationship with our Messiah and our Lord and our Christ and our King, Jesus Christ. And finally, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, Paul writes, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But of all these things, put on the love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So through this Advent season, let your heart be content with the place that you're in. Be content with the knowledge and the relationship that you have within Christ. Let your hopes move from things of this world and things that you hope to see on the news and hopes that you see hope to see on the internet. Let your hopes become that hope of an eternal life with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And through this season, take that moment and let your expectations be the expectations in God, in Christ, in eternal life, in part of being part of his kingdom, being part of his body, and move from the expectations that the world really does its very best to put on your hearts, worldly expectations, but have the expectations in Christ.